Hey, everybody, and welcome to Love About Town, the podcast where two brown nerds discuss sex, dating, and relationships in an attempt to be better. As always, you have me, your host, Kenise Mobley, and
your boy, Rohan, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. We have Andrea Allen on this week, and we have a great, great discussion about our tough breakups, the poly apps, and what it means to be in an ethically non-monogamous relationship. So enjoy the podcast with Andrea Allen and like, rate, and review. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Enjoy. So, Andrea, we have had you on the podcast before. I think the last time we had you on, you were in a relationship. What is your relationship status now?
Oh, single in the Pinera. Loving it. Mm-hmm. I'm a panini fuck girl.
Oh, tell me more.
No, I mean, I'm not a fuck girl. I actually have not had sex in months. What's up? But yeah, I was the last time, I think that was my most serious relationship I've ever had was when I was last on. Mm-hmm. And it was a lovely man. Shout out to Dustin. Holla. Mm-hmm. And I actually, he dumped me in front of, it was video chat. It was a long distance relationship. And he dumped me on video chat when I was standing in front of the creek in the cave in New York City.
Oh,
man.
You just have to like stand there like, cool. Well,
it was raining. I was about to do a roast. I was like bawling, and comedian Shane Torres like walked past me and he was like, hey bud, like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, it's fine. I'm just getting dumped by the man that I love. So humiliating. But I mean, the breakup was like, it was because we were long distance, and like the kind of like plan was for him to move back to New York because he lived in Virginia and had like left and was going to come back. And like, I'd keep sort of like being like, so what's the plan? Like, what's the plan? Like you're going to take all these steps and you're not taking these steps. And then like, eventually it got to the point where it felt like I was like nagging him all the time, you know, and like managing his life. And I also think like a lot of people, and I don't know if this is your guys' experience, but a lot of people feel like they're going to be okay with dating a comedian. Like they, on paper, they're like, oh yeah, you're like out doing shows every night, but like, you'll still, you know, go to movies with me on a Saturday or like go to dinner, you know what I mean? And it's like, I won't though, you know?
Yeah. If I'm getting like, money instead, I absolutely won't.
Yeah. Honestly, even if I'm not getting money, I love this horrible toxic thing. And, so I think it was also that, like he realized that he wasn't going to go back to New York, and he also wasn't like having his needs met. And so it was like, it was a really difficult breakup because it wasn't like dramatic. It wasn't like anything was wrong, but it was just like, we're our life paths and like who we are is like kind of fundamentally incompatible, which sucks. But he's actually, I mean, I'm like friendly with most of my exes except for the like horrible abusive ones, but like, yes, queen. But like, him and I remain very good friends. Like through the pandemic, we are talking all the time. And like, you know, he's one of my best friends. I don't know if that like is going to change or adjust as one of us or both of us have like partners, but but for now, like, you know, it's really nice to have like this person who I loved enough to like be with, to also be my, you know, friend. But, so that's where I am.
That breakup does sound like the first scene in a movie. I just need like the protagonist, and it's like dumped. And then like the second it's like, it's over, rain starts falling from the sky.
Like, I know. Yeah.
Cinematic,
it's right out of a movie.
It was cinematic, and I had a podcast recording the next day, and I like did it anyways and talked about the breakup, and the guest was Dave Mrahej. I don't know if you
yes
I yeah, know yeah Dave.
Yes,
very funny guy.
so funny, so nice. And I was like, thanks for being on the podcast. Like, I cried like multiple times.
Oh my gosh. No, with my ex-girlfriend, it was a very similar breakup. We were both friends. Like, we didn't like hate each other. It was like, we're on two different paths in life.
Yeah.
And I was driving on my way to my parents' house and whatever over the phone, because we were also long distance. And so, man, and I was just bawling my eyes out for an hour driving to New Jersey. Then my parents saw me, and I had to tell my parents right away that I had broken up with my girlfriend, and I was crying the whole night. It was like one of the saddest experiences like of my life. And, you know, it's an experience that you want to have privately.
Yes.
And like absolutely, like, you know, of course, like it was really nice for them to be there, but it was also like, I need the first like 24 to 48 hours to be alone.
Yes.
And so I was like there, and I was like, oh no. And I was like bawling. Like, you could easily hear me crying in my room. Oh, you know, it was one of the worst things in my entire life. And so, like, totally understand, like, you just, and you're at a, you went to a roast. So I can't imagine.
Yes, I did like a roast. I have the way I was on that roast, by the way, like the Creek in the Cave, rest in peace. They, they used to videotape film, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm 60 years old. I always say all their shows there. So I'm sure that's on film somewhere. And like, I'm just like, you're fat, you're gay. I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I my roast jokes were horrible. I barely gave a shit. My delivery was like, hey, you suck at comedy. I'm just like completely zoned out and like barely participating. But you know, it's funny you mentioned your parents. So I called my mom when I was walking home and I'm crying and stuff. And like, my mom comes, my parents are divorced, and my dad was like a serial cheater and like just like a real piece of work. So my mom is like incredibly jaded, as she should be.
Right.
But she's not the like person you go for like soft, warm, like breakup comfort.
Yep.
I remember walking, like holding the phone, like shaking and crying. And she was like, hey, you know, that's like, that's what happens. I'm like, are you fucking serious right now, bitch?
My parents are like the same. My parents were kind about it, and they were like sweet, but they're also like the type of people, and it's all very well intentioned, but they're just like, what could you do better to make sure that this doesn't happen? Right. And like, it's coming from a good place, but at the same time, there is this like, I'm already thinking about that. So
yes.
Like, I don't need that articulated out loud to me.
I literally just got abandoned by the person that I love. Can you also not abandon me with this horrible, like, it's your fault advice? Yeah.
No. This was like weeks later, but I didn't even want that advice weeks later. I don't ever like want that advice unless I'm saying it out loud to someone. It's like one of those things where like, you can't say that to me. I can only say it.
Right.
What's actionable there? Like, what's the, what's your action then?
So you suck and that's just it? That's
yeah.
Yeah, I know.
For real.
It's kind of like boomer-esque, you know, comforting of like, pull up your bootstraps and don't be so shitty at dating.
It's like coming from a good place because it's your parents, and obviously they don't want to hurt you, but at the same time, like, they don't understand that you're not a 5-year-old anymore, and you can process emotions and feelings as an adult. So it comes off as very condescending.
My mom sounded like she was smoking a cigarette while she was giving me the advice, even though she doesn't smoke. That was like the vibe of it.
Yeah. So like, this happened like how many months before the pandemic did this happen?
Oh my god, dude, it happened in December. So then the 3 months, early 2020, I was crushing nuts. I was going to Equinox. I was glowing up.
Yep.
I was on all the poly apps. I was like, you know, doing my hot girl thing. And I even, oh my God, I even booked, like, HBO was casting for this TV show about sex and dating, about like New York, like sex people.
Yeah.
And I got cast in it. Like, I was like, I am crushing this.
Yeah.
And then March, I think I was confirmed to be booked on that March 10th. And
oh no. Then something happened.
Yeah,
like something someone down.
Oh, that's weird, huh?
Yeah.
Are they gonna make? Do you think there's still plans to make the project, or is it dead?
I think it's probably like I kept like pathetically forwarding up with the casting agent of like,
that's not pathetic. That's the right thing to do.
I totally, but I feel like you to get no response. If you do it two times and you get no response, you're moving into like, please, like, come on. I hope you're right. What type of show is impossible to make during a world health crisis? Hey, a sex show. You know what I mean? Like, there couldn't be a more like legally difficult one. Like someone gets sick. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
just like really not great. So yay.
What are the Poly apps? What are these apps? Kenise, do you know about the Poly app?
I mean, I think Field fall into that.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Which has been mentioned on the pod before.
Yes.
I am unaware of other ones. Tell us more.
Field is the one that I did like. I actually was dating last year, which is extraordinary and insane. But like, I guess, well, I don't know. I don't know if you guys felt this. I feel like this is across the board. Like, unless you had a partner, I was hornier than I'd like ever been in my whole life for like large swaths of last year. Mm-hmm. But I like stayed inside and, you know, I got COVID in March. I got COVID.
Yeah.
It was a really great year. And, but so I had antibodies and like, you know, in the summer it was warmer and the cases were down. So I sort of like came out of my shell and I got on Field because I'm like a kinky lady. So Field is more geared towards people like that and like sex positive people. Like Field is where you meet people who are like probably the greatest lays you'll ever meet. And also like the most insane people.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
This is why I did not have much success when I was on Field.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You are not sex positive, Rohan.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Get on Hinge, babe. Like, get on Hinge. Get on Okay Cupid. Mm-hmm. Like, and like, it's just, I was trying to hook up with a couple. So that's also the thing that Field has. Like, people can pair with their partner and then like approach you as a couple. So that was like one of the main reasons why I was interested in it. But also it's like, it's a freak app and it's just like a little bit more transparent. Like I would meet someone and like, we'd be like sexting, right? Like we'd have good conversation, but we'd be like sexting right away. And it would be like, okay, we're going to meet up. And like, if there's a vibe, we have the option of going to hook up, but like, it's not like immediate, like we're going to fuck, but it's definitely like more discussed than like a Hinge where you're like going to get coffee or, you know, a more traditional
kind of
dating app. So I was on there just being crazy. I struggle with like sex and love addiction. It's something that I have to like keep my eyes on. And I definitely would say that this summer was like a relapse. We're going to label it as because I was just getting involved with like very risky people.
Got it.
Yeah.
Not in the sense of like, you know, I feel like I'm in physical danger or like, you know, I'm like raw dogging or whatever, but just like emotionally dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, like a guy who just got divorced from a comedian who like fucks me on my rooftop. And like, a guy who sharpened his nails down to claws and used to scratch my body like a scratching post.
Gotcha. You had a kink bingo card, a
dangerous
bingo card, and you were trying to scratch off every, no pun intended, but you're trying to scratch off every, you're trying to get bingo.
Yes. I was trying to get like,
but it's impossible to get bingo because you'll never be, because yes, anyway, addiction, etc. Go on.
Exactly. No, it's a spiral. It's a bingo is a circle. And what I was doing was a circle. And like a lot of like quote unquote ethically non, I love people putting the word ethically in front of non-monogamous and then not behaving in ways that are ethical whatsoever.
Yes.
It frosts my fucking cookies to have some guy be like, I'm all about communication and me and my partner, it's like ethical. Blah, 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 blah. And then you're talking shit about your primary to me. You're like trying to pit me against other girls. You're not texting me for 3 weeks and then being like, what's it? Like, it's like, how do you have the gall to put the word ethics in the way that you behave? It's you behave.
It seems like they read the book.
Yes.
And then they were like, oh, cool. I get to be the same inconsiderate person I used to be, but now there's a label so that people are comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And I can just say, no, 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 I'm not being a monster. This is what polyamory is. And it's like, that's not what polyamory is.
They get to be, they get to like virtue signal at you while they treat you like garbage.
Which and if you don't like it, you're not evolved enough. You're just, you're in the muck of jealousy and ownership. I'm the free one.
You're a fucking capitalist pig who just wants to own everybody. And I'm
you should be consistent in your communication.
Yes. Well, and then here's the thing. It's like, I love at the idea of ethical non-monogamy and polyamory, all these things. I think it comes from a really, I hate to say this is cringe, but evolved place.
Yeah.
And I think I have been open before and treated my partners with the utmost respect in the way that I would treat my friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I do think it's possible, but it's like, it's also like, this is why we can't have nice things, because like you said, like they read The Ethical Slut or Sex at Dawn or any of these, like, you know, really great books that make excellent points about like different relationship models. Mm-hmm. And what they take from that is, oh, I get to fuck everybody, like, sick. And that's
what, so what does it mean to be like ethical? Cause I truly like does ethical non-monogamy mean like, if you have a primary partner and you're sleeping with other people, you're informing the person that you have a primary partner and you're informing your primary partner that you're sleeping with other people. Like, let's say, you know, Andrew, you and I were dating and then you were like, I want to go sleep with a guy. Yes. Mm-hmm. I know. Sounds very hot.
Sounds
like the time of your life. Uh-huh. and you were like, and I was like, do you want to hang out on Saturday? And you're like, and then you're like, no, I'm going to see somebody. Is that part of like ethical non-monogamy? Because I know that there are like couples who are non-monogamous. They don't like to tell each other like when they're sleeping with other people and stuff. And is that like toxic? Is that like bad? Like, how does that work?
I think it's case by case, but I think a part of it is defining your rules before you start. So like to answer your question, it's like the ethics of it is you create the rules and then you stick by the rules. Mm-hmm. So some people have don't ask, don't tell, you know, some people have like, I mean, there's also the conversation about like wearing protection and like one of the slippery ones, which I feel like is probably the most challenging tenet of ENM is, and I don't know, it's hard for me to, there's no really answer to this, but what is the line between just having a sexual encounter versus with someone versus like you're starting to develop feelings for that person? And then when do you tell your primary? So like the guy who filed his nails to claws, had a primary, and like, he mentioned to me that like before the pandemic, he had a relationship with another woman who lived in Norway, Switzerland, one of those super white places. Mm-hmm. And he said that he would like fly out there multiple times, like every few months. And he was like, yeah, my primary started to get really, really like agitated. And we had to have conversations. And I'm like, yeah, it sounds like you just like do what you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. That's always tough.
Yeah. So I do think it's like a case by case. I recently learned a term that I fucking live for called relationship anarchy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is fucking, and I might be misquoting, I just learned it, but basically it's just like, instead of the hierarchical belief of like, okay, you get a romantic relationship and that's your most important relationship. And like you move in this like escalation pattern of like, you get a partner, you move in together, like, you know, the house, the kids, suburbs, and that's your most important relationship. The idea is that like all of your relationships have equal weights. Like your friendships have equal weights. Your casual relationships have equal weights. Your life is not centered around this like one remote, like this one focal point. It can go, your relationships can go any which way, and you should treat them all with like equal care and consideration.
I love that.
Yes.
I was just, because when you said treat the person like you would a friend, that really resonated with me, because I'm like, oh, do I do that? Am I like, oh, it's just some guy I'm dating, so I'll be flakier? And I've certainly had guys that was like, oh, we were friends and then we slept together and suddenly now they're treating me differently.
Yes.
And it's like, oh no, just keep treating people like you would a friend, in the sense to consider their feelings and thoughts and actions and handle them with a particular amount of care.
That's and perfect. I have one of the great things about the Panini is that I'm just going to keep saying cutesy things to underplay this horrible thing that we're stuck in. Is that I have a very old friend that I've been friends with for like 10 years. And we used to have a sexual relationship. Then we both went on. We went to date other people. We always remained like friends. We supported each other's creative endeavors. We would like talk on the phone every few years, you know. So I did what I'm sure so many people have done. I like slid in the DMs and was like, so you want to like fuck? Because I am lonely. And I trust you. That's a big part of like pandemic dating is like, I have to trust that you're not going to like kill me because you're negligent. Like you're out there doing indoor shit and I don't know about it. Like, it's really a much more difficult thing. So I reached out to him and like, we've started back this like casual sexual relationship, but like, you know, when you start seeing someone and you get like nervous if they don't text back, or there's this whole, like, I don't know them. And I'm really like, I feel so, I don't want to come off a certain way. So I'm going to try to act chill. And there's all these like internal acrobatics around how to like manage your interactions with this person. With this guy, I know him. He's my, like, I'm like, you're not, he's not going anywhere. Like, he's not going to be like, fuck you. And also like, if he does, he's going to send me a text and be like, something became more serious with someone else. You know what I mean? Like there's this baseline of like complete comfort with this person. And I really feel like that is the way people should approach relationships. And it's so rare that they do. Unfortunately, people are cowards.
No. It's funny that you say that, because I started a relationship, a long distance relationship, in the pandemic, and something that I had to like, and this is gonna sound really rude, but that something that I had to get over was that like, I there was some like cognitive dissonance in my mind about like, you know, you were saying you're like very horny in the pandemic. There's this thing that's preventing us from leading our real lives, and so we have all this like sexual energy. Plus, everyone's wearing a mask, and everyone looks fucking hot in a mask.
I mean, the eyes.
It's eyes. Exactly. What's happening underneath there? I don't know. Do you know?
Yeah.
No, I want to find out.
It's mystery.
It's a mystery. It's so much mystery. That's all. It's it's like the type of withholding that is it's the best type of withholding. Anyway.
I just got a little peek into what you like.
And so, you know, there is this dissonance in my head about like me being like attracted to like, you know, physically attracted to other people and me being in this, you know, monogamous relationship. And so like, it's really important to bring up to your partner that like you have crushes on other people and you're like, I think that person is hot, or like, I've been feeling extra horny, especially when you're in a long distance relationship.
It's that's just a reality you have to contend with. Like, to pretend that's not a real thing in a long distance relationship is ridiculous.
Yeah. And you have to like take a leap and hope that they react in the way that you were talking about. It's like, they're not going anywhere. They're we have the same level of trust. Like, like, they're bringing it up. And you know, of course, it's reciprocal in the sense of like, they can all like, you know, my girlfriend can also bring it up to me and has brought it up with me. But I'm just saying that like,
I have a question.
Please.
When you are saying this stuff to your girlfriend and having those conversations, are you saying like specific people? Like, no. I have a crush.
You're
on
like, Kenise Mobley is a hot piece.
I mean, no, I am hot, but
no. Cause it's not, cause I understand it's not about that. It's it's about like, you go on Instagram and then you see someone hot and then you just go and look at all their pictures and you imagine what it's like to hook up with them. Right. Yes. Like, that's not a crush in the sense of like, it's just like you fall down these rabbit holes. So there's like no one in particular who I'm like, well, that person for sure. There's someone who I like have a crush on now, who I just like followed on Twitter and was like, oh yeah, like they're cool. Like they're hot. Like, it's like that kind of thing. And so it's like, all right. But, you know, it's like, if you're feeling like disconnected or something, it's like, maybe it's because of this. And then I found that when you bring it up and you talk to your partner about it, they're like, well, my part, she's very understanding. And then mm-hmm. I immediately, all those feelings immediately go away. You're like, oh, well, that person yes. is like, you know, they're cool with it and they understand, and they understand that you're like a human being, and, you know, you're able to sort of like get through it. You know, you don't want the line between being insulting and being like rude
sure.
is, of course, that's like, that's very hard. But like, I think it's really important to bring that stuff up and to acknowledge that other people exist, and like, you know, you're not putting all this pressure right. on like the one person.
Well, because you being the only person ever, like that right. weird storybook narrative that we've had shoved down our throat,
yeah,
so not based in any type of reality. So it's inherently a lie to pretend that that is what's happening. I also think like, I've been thinking a lot about, because all these like poly people and whatever, and this was in the summer, and you know, a lot of them like just say shit. Like they're very complimentary, or they're like, you're my favorite. Like they say these like very kind of manipulative, like, you know, like, I'm like, why are you, you know, talking shit about the primary, breaking up with the primary, and then like confiding in me, and then getting back to get like all this like crazy entanglement that they're doing. And I'm like, why do you, like, you just say these things? And I think part of it I've realized is people, men a lot specifically, like to make women feel good or compliment them or be like the romantic, like wooing guy. Very true. But they're not clocking like the potential harm in doing something like that.
Yeah.
Like, let's follow the logic through here. Like,
yeah,
you're telling me that like you like me more than your whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like you're emotionally involving me in your shit. And then you're like, it's like, there's no like long-term thinking. And I think that like, it's all done under the guise of romance, quote unquote, like
yes.
it's all romance. So it doesn't like matter. And right. it's interesting to me that like, I find men are a lot more like this. And I'm like, I feel like women are often accused of being like romantic yeah. and like they can't handle their emotions. And I'm like, I have been so fucking like honest and pragmatic and like painfully upfront with you, and then
yes
you're just like blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what was the plan?
I there are a few sentences that I could agree with harder. It feels like they're like, oh, in the moment I feel like all of these like lovey-dovey feelings, and I feel like
good.
The best thing in the world. And instead of clocking that, oh, I'm experiencing a sensation that is attached to physicality, or I'm
sure
sensation that's attached to someone new, they're just like, no, I'll just say all of that to this person. And when I have no intention of following up, mm-hmm. no intention of following through with what this language would mean,
yes,
I'm gonna treat them like they're crazy for having expectations.
Oh,
yes,
I'm
throwing
it. I'll fight you.
I will.
Yeah, yeah.
I will.
Well, especially if you're in like a poly relationship and there is an expectation that there are other people involved, and mm-hmm. and you have to like establish like that's not establishing boundaries.
No,
you know,
no,
like
it
that's
is not.
That's like that's just assuming that certain boundaries exist, or that you want boundaries to be in a certain way, mm-hmm. and in actuality, you're just, you know, like you said, being emotionally manipulative, or just being like, this person is an emotional dumpster for you. Like,
it just feels good. I don't even know that there's further thought down the line.
Yeah.
Like, this is manipulative. I think it's like, this feels good. I like this. This feeds my like ego and sense of like masculinity. And like, I'm just going to do it, because the thing is, and I've noticed like a lot of these guys, it's like, they're okay. I'm doing a little shitting on women. I'm about to do a little bit of shitting on women.
That's fine.
And I am in this party, and I have done this in the past. When you accept bad treatment from a man and you keep coming back, you have set, and again, like I know in terms of like a physically and emotionally abusive relationship, I've been in an emotionally abusive relationship.
It's complicated.
I've come back, and I completely understand why I did and like where I was. A lot of it has to do with self-esteem and self-worth, and like, it's very difficult to manage. That being said, these men do this because they know, okay, say one woman like has the boundaries and self-esteem to walk away, another one will come along.
Yeah.
Like, this is sort of like where I feel like it's a catch-22, because you want to like be romantic and stuff like that. But if you keep setting up like standards and boundaries, it's like, there's very few people left.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm sitting here with my morality and this guy is just drowning in pussy because other women are like, oh, he doesn't know, or he's, it was, a, and I'm like, but stand, hold the line.
Yeah.
Hold the line.
We gotta pull a Lizistrata and yes. not fuck these dudes until they become better people.
Because
not
they
even
don't
just fight a war, just to
yes.
because elevate your thinking and your basic consideration and empathy.
I think about this all the time of like the amount of time I've like screenshotted texts and sent them to my friends and being like, this motherfucker, and like, what is this fucking the amount of like emotional energy and like actual time has been spent on like decoding shitty language and trying to like understand why I'm being treated poorly. And at the same time, this person is just going about in the world like having their life, you know what yeah. I mean? And I'm like, they're just thinking about how to like do fun shit and hang out with their friends. And I'm just this person that they can usher at the touch of their phone. And I'm this cuck sitting there like dissecting things. And I'm like, I will no longer let you take an inch of my energy. I started to get real feisty near the end of my yeah. little relapse where like someone would like text me some bullshit and I would just go LOL. Like I wouldn't even
yeah. get
to the point where I would like,
right.
write a well-crafted text of like, well, I actually think that's I'd just be like,
yeah.
Like, I don't even want to type out a paragraph. Yeah. You don't even get the paragraph at this point.
Yeah.
It's fucking garbage. And
I'm proud of you.
Thank yeah. you, Denise. And one other fucking thought too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's we constantly harp on like communication and honesty. And like, I feel like that's the through line of every dating conversation. And it is the most essential thing to have a healthy relationship, and yet a thing that we like can't seem to do to save our lives. And I'm like, why can't we? And I think the real short answer is that with honesty comes no. Do you know what I mean? Like on both ends. So for example, mm-hmm. if I like someone and I know that like I want to date them in a more serious capacity, but I can tell they're not like on my level,
mm-hmm.
if I'm honest with them, there's a possibility of them being like, no, I don't feel that way. And that then I don't get to live in fantasy land where like
yeah.
it
yeah,
might
for
still
sure.
happen. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And on the other side, like if a guy I'm seeing you know has a partner and maybe it's like non-monogamous, but what's happening between us is like a little bit more serious, like he might ask me for something more, or he might like want to change the script and I'm not okay with it. And I say no, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I want to suspend ourselves in midair and like have our needs kind of met. And then there hits a juncture where like things aren't aligned and it's a game of chicken of like, who's going to say it. And it sucks. It sucks.
I always say it first.
Me too.
I'm always the first to be like, this doesn't, like, sure, we are having fun in this moment, but I cannot continue to have fun knowing yeah. that the things that I want are never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't need those things immediately, knowing that they're not on the table means that yes. I shouldn't be here. So I'm going to go.
You've broken up with yourself.
Yeah.
And I know so many women who have broken up with themselves. It's
yeah.
wild.
Yeah. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like that's like, yeah. that's the right thing to do.
Sure. But it's fresh, but it means that I spend much
yes.
more time alone.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Because sure. I will say this is a problem versus just, let's just ride this river. Let me just invest another 6 months. Like I won't do it. I also think with that, everyone does say honesty is important. People need to be honest with themselves, kind yeah, of yeah. what you're talking about. And also like intentions mm-hmm. versus like what you're actually going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
I intend to volunteer for charity a certain amount of hours every week. I intend to mm-hmm. learn a new recipe every week. And it sounds nice. And if someone was like, ooh, let's do this thing, I'd be like, oh my God, yes. But what mm-hmm. am I, given the other things going on in my life, my energy level, what else I also want. Am mm-hmm. I actually going to do those things? And I need to be honest with myself and say, like, I haven't volunteered in a long time. I need to be mm-hmm. honest with myself and acknowledge that I'm not actually going to do those things. And yes. I need for people, my partners, to I need to do that with the people that I date. I need my partners to do that with me. And then we can see if it'd actually work.
Yes. Yeah. And like cis white het males, the trifecta. I think like a reason why they are such poor communicators and they don't have intention and they're just, they mistreat people without even really like clocking that it's mistreating is, I think, because they've been the fucking king of the castle for so long because of like white supremacy and heteronormativeness. You know, we just talked about that whole pattern, that escalation pattern of like, you meet a man and he's a good man. You have to hold on to a good man. And like, you know, and if we're, you know, obviously race is thrown into like, oh, it's a white man. Oh my God. Like the kingpin ace in the hole. Oh, he's educated. He's whatever, blah, blah, blah. There's all these like tiers of sort of like, you know, desired things that I don't need. Like a lot of us don't even really desire some of it. We're just told that we have to. So they basically hold the keys to the castle, like, especially in like heterosexual relationships of like, if a woman wants to get married, she needs to have a man ask her to do that.
Yeah.
So then, so then it becomes this very, like, you have everything, you have all the keys.
You control exactly when and where my dream happens.
Yes. Yeah. My life, my legitimacy as like a real person, which I don't subscribe to any of this shit, but I know there's so many women who have been taught that that is what makes you valid. So of course they're going to do whatever they want because they're like, I get to like one of the dudes who was like particularly shitty, the one who like broke up with the primary and blah, 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 blah. I did like a little stalking to see who the primary was. And I was like, of course, this girl, we call her, me and Emily call her Boots and Sweaters. I think you're probably
Christian Fall girl.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And this guy was like very conventionally handsome, kind of like, he was a writer. He was very like whimsical. I thought he was corny, but to like, to a Boots and Sweaters, this guy's the dream.
Yeah.
You know? And so she basically like told him that she was in love with him. They'd been together for 6 months, by the way.
Ooh.
She tells him she's in love with him. And then he breaks up with her because he's like, I can't, you know, I can't in good conscience, like, you know, date someone who I know that I don't love, or I don't see myself possibly loving. Like I have to sort of like let her go, whatever.
Right.
And like, good on her, honestly, for like, say like that. I would never, but like, that's very strong to just be like, I fucking love you.
Right.
What's up? And so he broke up with her and then he got back together with her. And I was like, dude, you're a coward.
Yeah.
Like, you are a coward because you know you have this girl on the line. You know she's hoping that one day you're going to be her boyfriend. And like this whole open thing that you're doing is just so he can explore. But really in the back of her head, she thinks that you're going to be her Mr. Boots and Sweaters.
Yeah.
You know you're not. So like, I just find it so... it's just an amount of power that I feel really uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what to do about it because they just continue to do it. So.
Yeah. That's just like you, he has to be, if based on what you're saying, like he just has to be mature and be like, look, like you're clearly looking for something that I can't provide you. Like you have to say that openly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not, doesn't make you a bad person in the least. It doesn't make you like,
be a bad person outside of that, but like,
sure. But that doesn't, but me rejecting you is not a reflection of your self-worth is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
And that act in
and of itself or alone is not. So like, you know, you just have to be the mature person and be like, we're not looking for the same thing.
But he won't, Rohan, because he has his cake and eat it too now. Yes. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's this very slippery thing that they do where it's like, okay, but like, who am I to say what she wants? Like she has she has her own autonomy. And like, you know, she says she's comfortable with it. She's fucking other people too. So like, but I'm like, someone dropped the L bomb on you.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want you to infantilize someone, but like, let's be, you real honest here. Yeah. Like, you know. And I just like, I found him after that. I mean, I just stopped talking to him, but I actually found him. He's very, very attractive. I found him physically repulsive.
Good.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
hell
you know,
yeah.
Someone's so like spineless. They're like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing this for boots and sweaters. I am taking revenge by never letting you fuck me again.
Yeah.
Sex, yeah. I love that.
Sex was great. It's a bummer.
Alas.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that also there's two things. There's like what you were talking about like the women seeing, you know, the goal for women is to, you know, do the housewife thing, or like, you know, get married, yes, have kids, suburbs, sure, all that. And then for men, there is like a conditioning throughout life that you're supposed to have as much sex as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And that, you know, nothing should stop you in that pursuit.
Right.
And there's two things, right? There are men who like embrace that wholeheartedly. And then there are men who don't want to embrace that, but still are dealing with that stereotype, that insecurity sort of hanging over them. And then you add on top of that the idea that, you know, men aren't supposed to be emotional with one another. You're not supposed, you know, you don't talk to your guy friend. You know, there's no crying in sports. There's none of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So you kind of put all of that together in like a cocktail. And of course, like, men are gonna be like, you're getting all these mixed signals, or you're feeling all these waves.
You're a mess. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a mess. You're an emotional mess. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I'm not excusing any of these people's behavior, but it's also like, you're not taught how to be emotional. Like, I think that, you know, whatever, I built my emotional IQ over the years because people have been very honest with me. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't think that I would have, you know, I don't have the same emotional IQ as when I was 21 as I do, you know, now when I'm like 34. So it's sure. Yeah. I don't trust people who like have the same interest. I'm like, putting off.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so it's this like cycle, and I truly don't know what the solution is other than to, like, you know, obviously buck against those stereotypes and buck against those, you know, a man not being emotional. Men should be emotional. It's it's not wrong, and it's not a flaw. So yeah, it's interesting. I think that, like, and then you're in New York, of course, there's 8 million people. Most of them are women, right?
Like, a fun little statistic that is. We're like surrounded by like beautiful, driven, interesting, it's a fucking.
And there aren't, it is not equal. There are some, don't get me wrong, there are some very attractive or attractive to you. There are some very driven, successful, interesting people, but there are, I've definitely seen more women who are like thriving to be the best version of their authentic selves.
Of course.
I've seen more men who are like, I was told that I have to do this to get women, and so I'm kind of doing this.
Yes.
And you're so are those your political beliefs at all? Or like,
oh God, that is one of my favorites. Like, that's sort of like an extension of the trope we were talking about earlier, like woke polyamorous guy.
Yeah.
Who's touting his morality while actively being immoral.
Yeah.
There's also like feminist guy, you know, and you're like, like one of the polyamorous dudes, like I said, he was using heteronormative tactics within a polyamorous. So again, like pitting me against other, saying things like, you're going to be a problem, as in like, I'm stealing the spot, his girlfriend. And saying stuff like, you know, I was dating this girl who was 32 and she used to be really hot in high school. And then her looks were fading at that age. You know, that's kind of when like it's, and I'm like, you're wearing the cool t-shirt with the big leaf on it and you've got the cool side shaved head, but you're a bro.
Yeah. Right.
You are still a bro. You just have adopted this new, it's very wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yes.
And so that, like, I find that I prefer my misogyny like out.
Yes. I would 100% much rather, if I'm dating, sleeping with like a meathead.
Yeah.
Like plumber, like works with his hands, says chick babe, like just like just language that is from the 80s and knows that.
Yes.
I would much rather that than some guy who like is like BIPOC woke and you're like, I looked at your photos, you don't know any people who aren't white. Okay. Like you are lying to yourself and you're lying to me. And you are especially the ones who are like, I have some friends who are a little too active on Twitter and I'm like, honey, what is this progressivism you speak of? Because your friend group, your life, you've set it up in a 1950s Joan Cleaver.
Yes.
So like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Go ahead, Rohan.
No. I just think that it goes back to what we were talking about honesty, mm-hmm. where it's like you appreciate someone who is more honest, even if their honesty happens to be things that you don't necessarily agree with, or like, you know, it superficially offends you, right? Or like whatever. At least the person is open about what they want and like, yeah, it's a low bar. Like, I don't know, you know, you could debate that for hours, but it's like, it's still like, hey, I know this person is not lying to me about something, you know, their core beliefs, right?
Yeah. Yes.
The white male feminist trope of being like, you know, whatever, actually.
It's not limited to white male.
Yeah, sure. It's not. Yeah. No, you know what I mean? Like, it's a male feminist trope.
I know a lot of them of all over the world.
right. And so. So that trope or whatever, it conveys like a dishonesty, right? Like you're dishonest about this thing that should be a core belief. Mm-hmm. And that is like, that's the problem.
Well, okay. So I have a question for you guys. And I kind of, this is probably not my most healthy thing that I do, mm-hmm. but I wonder if you guys do this too. And I've been thinking about it. So I put someone who was behaving poorly on a timeout, which is one of my favorite gangster ass moves, to be like, listen, that dick is great, but I'm also bipolar. So I get to be like, I'm mentally ill. I need to go away for a while. And they can't say anything, which is that dishonest? Yes. But so sometimes I put people
you are bipolar, but
yeah. Oh, for sure. But like, so someone who behaves, so I guess I'll lay this out. Like someone who turned out to be one of these like fake woke guys.
Yeah.
So initially I was like, oh, this person's like really smart and funny. And we like have these like comedy things in common. And I really like feel like we our values align. Then the poor behavior starts and I'm like, oh, you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. He comes back to me after not talking to me for weeks, like, what's up? And I'm like, ugh. So I'm like, hey, I need to take a little break. Like, you know, whatever. Cause that dick is so good. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm doing this thing where like you quote unquote aren't real to me. And I don't know if this is like a crazy thing, but I've now relegated you to like shithead category. Mm-hmm. So I don't care. Like, it's kind of like, if you don't care, I don't care. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. so now if I do choose to sleep with him again, I have no, like, I'm not like, I don't really respect him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just going to sleep with you. I'll never text you. You know, if you hit me up or, you know what I mean? Like I will no longer be investing emotionally in any capacity with you, mm-hmm. but I do want to still sleep with you. I wonder, am I giving him what he wants? Am I wrong to like be actively maybe doing something with someone who is not a good part? Like, what do you guys think? I don't know. Cause I've been like mulling in my head. Is this like unethical for me to be like, you're a dumb shithead, but now that I know you're a dumb shithead, then you're that dumb shithead for me.
I don't think it's unethical, but I do think going back to the point you made earlier where like, he's not learning a lesson at all. Like again, certainly men are not supposed to, women's pussies are not here to teach men lessons. Like that's 100% not what I want to communicate.
But that is how they learn. They get it taken away. That's the only way they learn.
I think there's good dick out. So I say this as someone who right now is like trying to find good dick.
I'm running around trying. Yeah, like,
there is good dick out there that ideally.
Yeah, email the podcast, lowabouttownpodcast@gmail.com if your dick is good.
Person.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Do that.
So I don't know because like, again, it sucks if you're like, I am the most moral and I am the person who is like going by the laws I believe in exactly without fail. And I'm holding everyone else up to the same super high standard. And I haven't fucked in a long time, like that sort of feeling. Like, so no, yes. I think like you deserve to come as much as anyone else does.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes. But yeah, I do. I'm frustrated with the fact that shitty men get to also come. You come and then get off and walk away.
Yes.
Yeah, and he'd be like, what about me? And it'd be like, sorry, you're not a good enough person for me to make you come. I'm sorry. Ugh.
Totally. Like you lost your cum privileges.
Yeah. You don't come until you read the Feminine Mystique. Okay, bitch. You're not allowed. All right.
I think it's fun. I think as long as you have defined the relationship that you want to define it as. So mm-hmm. like what you're not, like Kanye said, you're not responsible for his morality. Mm-hmm. And you know, whatever, he is going to continue being a shitty person and mm-hmm. someone you don't want to be involved with. But yeah. if he's giving you what you need in that particular moment, and then you're like, okay, well, that's it. And if he's like, wants to do something further, and you're just like, no, why the fuck would I want to do that? Then you have there are no ethical or like moral qualms to that. And like, you have no, do you think there's a moral qualm to it?
I don't, not a moral qualm. It's just,
it's slippery. I know you're struggling with, Kanye. Yeah.
It's slippery, but also like, it's a time thing. Like you only have so much time on this planet. And if you're putting time into that versus finding someone who actually is A, going to treat you well, and B, is their actual interests are aligned with your actual interests.
Yeah, yeah.
I do worry that your time is being taken away.
Yeah, I'm like dancing with the devil and not
I don't, based on everything you've said, I don't think that that's the case. I feel like you're going out there and you're doing whatever the fuck that you want to do, or within, you know, your boundaries or whatever. Mm-hmm. You understand when you're overstepping your boundaries, you understand when you're, you know, not satisfied in the way that you want to be. Mm-hmm. And so you, like, I think that you're very well aware of what you want and what you need right now.
You
and
know
so,
what I,
like,
oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to,
you know what I think is the middle ground here is, so when we were, me and this poly guy were involved, I was not, I have my friend who I casually see, but I was not, I've been very like, I'm not seeing multiple people at a time very often because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
In previous life, I would be dating like probably 3 or 4, depending on my schedule, like 3 or 4 people maybe. Yeah. So he was the one who had the primary, and the other, like, he had his whole polycule set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in a sense, like, he was my source of like sex and affection and whatever. So there was kind of this uneven situation where like he has the luxury to lose, quote unquote, lose me as a romantic partner because his needs are still being satiated with other people.
Right.
So I guess my now mentality with him is like, if I were to include him in the roster, when the roster opens back up, listen, I got a Peloton.
Yeah.
Ready. Nice. I'm getting vaccinated, know, and when I'm out on these streets again, if he is involved, I also need to be actively spending time with other people who are like, I feel like I'm like, you get one turd. Like if you're gonna play the game, then you are allowed one turd. And then if you have more than one, then like, what are you doing? But I don't know. It is like you mentioned, like teaching men lessons are not women's responsibility. And it kind of like reminds me of, you know, people of color trying to explain to like white thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not women's responsibility. However, it affects us the most. Yeah. So it kind of just falls on our shoulders because they're not going to learn it themselves. They have no consequences for any of
that. They have no consequences for not knowing it. Yeah. It's always
I
didn't know. I didn't look into it and I didn't research it. And even though other people told me about it, I specifically ignored it, but I didn't know. And that's like why I'm not guilty for anything.
And that's good enough, right? Yeah. I can still call myself good because I was,
Right.
Yeah. I just think like, if you are only seeing one person at a time, then I would say, yeah, like if there can be a person who's not shitty.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, like,
yeah, then like get this guy out of your life. But it sounds like you're like, you know, if you were not, you're not doing that. So if like if he's just like, you know, number seven on the call.
Yeah,
sheet,
if he's number
then
seven, then
whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, and then like fine. Do what,
but don't
do
let
what
him be
do.
Number one. He doesn't deserve it. Mm-mm,
yeah, you're
no,
not he's not moving up. Mm-mm. If anything, he's just gonna keep moving down.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I
that's
should
all
give
right.
him a t-shirt that says number seven.
And you're number seven.
It's like, don't worry about it. Just wear it. And then next week I might come in with number eight.
Exactly. You give him a different shirt every time, or you're like,
deeply love the idea of like hanging out in a park and you're wearing a number seven t-shirt and you see like number three walking by and you're like, what the fuck?
Or having like a weekly leaderboard, like you do an IG live and you're like at them and you're like, so this week in the ranks,
Ryan
has moved down after his very insensitive comment about older women, but Colin.
If you don't make this into a show, I would tune in. This would be hilarious. You'd be like, sign on to the chat. Okay, these neck and neck. Who's gonna be number one? Okay,
it's like poker, or it's like stock trading and astrology and all these things that are like, you know, fake pitting against. Yeah, listen.
Truly, if you don't do that and also have like expert, like I'm an astrologer,
this.
I'm the the sea tides in Indonesia indicate that this is gonna shift and therefore Brian needs to be number one. Like I'm serious, we're making the show.
Kniez is producing this. I mean, there is also this, like, you guys are comedians and public people. You have a podcast about love and sex. There is kind of this sticky thing of like, when I get involved with these poorly behaved people, mm-hmm. I will talk about it on my show because,
of course,
hello, content.
Yeah.
And like, I went on like a meetup with a couple who I was thinking of dating, and the guy was a fucking nightmare. Like, he was like talking about how he used to cheat on his other girlfriend, how he had scabies and like gonorrhea, and like he used to be, and listen, I'm a sober person, so he was talking about like his addict days, and I'm like, I'm not judging you, but also like, when I first meet a person, I'm not like, hey, one time I fucking threw a bottle of champagne across the wall, what's up, like, like, it's not the judgment,
especially
of,
if
like,
you're trying to get them to fuck you.
Yes. And also like, safety. Hello, safety.
Yeah, that's true.
You're telling me all these like stranger danger things.
Yeah.
And I was like so put off. The girl was super attractive, and I kept trying to see like, can I stomach the guy in order to like get to the girl? Yeah.
But then don't you think like, well, why is this? Do you ever think like, why is this woman with him?
Yeah.
Like, then that makes you question them. And
the,
then you're like, I can't do this.
she's being abused. I'm like, actively, this woman is in a bad relationship, but like, I'm like, I can't rescue you, lady. So I talked about our interaction on the podcast, and they were like super cartoonishly goth people. Like, they were super funny. Mm-hmm. She heard it, and she sent me like a really nasty message.
Ooh.
That was like, you just go out there in the world and you don't even experience things. Like, you're just doing this for like content, to like air people's dirty laundry. And I do think about that stuff all the time, but then I'm like, okay, but if I had said something good about you, you would have been totally fine with it. Like, here's my problem with
this. Also, you didn't mention names. No one knows who these people are.
Yeah.
No one will ever know who these people
are. Nope. And it's like, and I was like, wait, are you saying, but isn't the definition of like a comedian, like taking their life experience and like making funny thing? Like, isn't that my exact role? Like, but it does get tricky because, and also like, when you behave badly, why are you not embarrassed about your poor behavior?
Yeah.
You're embarrassed that it's being said out loud, but like, you did it. So like,
it feels like Ted Cruz was like on the TV talking about how mad he was at people for breaking group chat decorum and not like, hey, maybe I shouldn't have fucking flown to Cancun.
Yeah, right.
maybe group chat decorum isn't the real issue here, bitch. Like, what are you talking about?
Ted Cruz is not even on the roster. He's not even number 10.
Good.
He
I hope he never comes. I hope
he probably doesn't. That's why he's the way he
locked inside, and he's like a witch. Cursed him, And every time he gets close, it just like shoots into his body. That's what I hope happens.
He's Canadian too, which is so
why the fuck
upsetting.
Is he? Ugh.
Yeah. I don't like, as a Canadian, I am.
I'm sorry.
Offended.
You've got some great Canadians to make up for him. You really
Thank
do.
You.
There's
you,
so but... many quality Canadians.
You truly do.
Schitt's Creek did well this year. Yeah, just Canada's really representing. So.
Thank
yeah.
you so much. Thank yeah. you so much.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time, good country.
Yeah.
All right. So we are coming up on the hour, and how we end every show is with final thoughts. So things that you've reconsidered, things you want to reiterate, things you just want the listeners to know about you.
I guess this is something that I have sort of a hack for those ladies who are, you know, out there dating amongst the sharks. And this is maybe easier said than done, but every man who I have encountered who has been like emotionally intelligent and thoughtful and what I expect from my partners, usually queer adjacent. And I, you know, my ex was like raised by lesbians. A lot of my best friends are, and some of them even by themselves. Like I recently hooked up with like a guy who was, it was like a friend hookup. It's kind of goofy, but like, I do think that like the reason why they tend to be more empathetic is that they do like, they know what it is like to have the world treat someone poorly for right. their preferences or whatever. It seems shitty to be like, they got treated like shit too. So they know,
yeah.
You know, but that's something that has actually like literally every single time I've been involved with someone who is queer in any sense of the word,
mm-hmm.
hey, they have treated me incredibly well. So, hey, some people like the hyper mask dudes. I always like a man who looks is more beautiful than I am. Because I'm a little bit of a queerdo myself, but mm-hmm. like it's an interesting tidbit. If you want to get more access to me, you can follow mm-hmm. me at AndreaComedy69 on Instagram.
Yes.
I am thirst trapping rabidly.
Yes.
People are like, Andrea, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm great.
Yeah.
Why do I not seem okay?
But you do look great. These are great thirst traps. I'm learning so from them. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being, you know, the head of industry in, in this way.
Yes, you love thirst trapping.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate mm-hmm. it. I feel seen. And I actually will be soon. I have my own podcast that I co-host with Emily Lubin called the Hot Mess Comedy Hour. Rohan, we got to get you on there.
Yeah, that would be so much fun. I'd love to do
it. Yeah. And I actually am going to be launching my own sex and relationship podcast.
Yes.
Soon.
Hell yeah.
So that's coming down the pipeline. It's my first solo pod. And, you know, obviously you guys have a great sex and relationship pod. So if your listeners like that or like me, then just follow the gram and like keep your ears open for
yeah.
Alan. Yeah. Thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. What a great conversation. Honestly.
Rohan, what were your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, I think this is a lot of my final thoughts lately, but you got to be a good communicator, ask questions. Like, especially if you're not feeling or you're feeling that there's an imbalance in whatever your perception of the relationship is. Maybe there isn't an imbalance. Maybe there is. Like, if you're feeling disconnected for whatever reason that happens to be, talk to somebody about it. And that somebody is the person that you're with. Mm-hmm. I'll do my plugs too. Rohan Padia Cool Guy on Instagram, and I am Rohan Cool Guy on Twitter. And this podcast, which you should listen to and rate and like and review,
leave us
a nice comment. Don't leave us a mean comment. And I will do this plug on behalf of Kenise. Listen to her Tonight Show set and leave a nice.
Yes. Oh my God. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was there.
Bitch.
It was
what
great.
A credit.
Leave a nice comment. Hit that like button.
Can I interrupt?
lovethattownpodcast@gmail.com, etc.
Can I interrupt? So
yeah,
every time a comedian that I love has a late night set, I like to go on YouTube as soon as it comes out. And anytime there are trolls who say bullshit, I like go to war with them. I'm like, shut up, you fucking loser. Like, I'm like on their immediate, cause you know, they're going to be there no matter how good the set is.
Yeah,
no matter what. Like, Kenise fucking killed. And it's always like incel freaks. And so I have been getting in wars with this like one particular guy.
I'm like, I just need you to know I see it because I am the masochist who like looks at every comment that people leave. And I saw your I saw the email address and I knew it was you. And I was like, get him! Because I can't say anything or else it just seems like, no, I swear I'm cool. But like other people, I was like, that made me feel so fucking good.
That's why I do it. That's why I do it, because they're full of shit. And it was an incredible set. And like, I know that if you're a woman doing stand-up, you're going to get like triple the amount to woman of color, even more so. And like, I know that if I ever had a late night set, I would just get fucking lambasted with bullshit. And I'm like, it's like a fun way for me to like release my rage.
Hell yeah. I just want you to know, it is very appreciated. I just saw that and I was like, thank God.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to go at people on the internet.
Yes.
It truly was a gift. Truly was a gift. And congratulations. It was wonderful.
Thank you. I guess my final thought is that if you're trash, be trash. Stop trying to be something else. Honestly, it probably, I can't imagine, like, did you get married off of pretending to be not trash? And then later, just be trash. You'll probably be happier, honestly.
Truly.
That you're not like constantly like, oh, I got to quote this thing, or, oh, I got to go to these meetings. Oh no.
Oh God, I have to buy this band t-shirt that I don't like. Oh God. Just
be garbage. You know what? I love some real shit pop music. I like dudes that cook for me. I like some things that like, I mean, I think dudes that cook for you is like a general thing. Everyone should be able to feed themselves, but there are some things that I like that are shit. And you know what? I'm going to own them. And by being honest, I will find a person who likes those things and I won't have to lie for the rest of my life.
Let it hang out.
I'm Kenise Mobley on all the platforms. Reiterating what Rohan said, please email the podcast, like, rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends about it. That is the best way for a podcast to get new listeners. If you have friends, you're probably Zooming with them right now. Well, not while you listen, but afterwards, and fucking tell them. That's the way it works. Okay. I'm Kenise. Goodbye. This is In Love.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye. Andrea, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.